Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Craig Carlson, John Rollins, and John Baker. Coming up on TMS, smelling the cantaloupe's butt parts.
Scott looks at their melons.
Zach Stapanakins.
Beautifully done. Star Trek, Upper Decker.
I watched a child pee.
I felt bad for the kid. That's why I'm telling everybody.
Coming up on
What's Pre-K called?
Bowling Theory 101.
Always get melon consent.
Pinching a good thick stack.
Little Eric, what's his name?
Me and a dude named Kevin Smoot.
A creative nomads of podcasting.
Basically heroin with Dan and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
My dairy-based frozen confection creates a focal point to which young males of the species are drawn. They have stated that it is superior to yours. They are correct. It is superior to yours. I could attempt to educate you on the subject, but I would require you to provide monetary compensation.
I bless the bears down in Idaho.
The Morning Stream. What do you say? We get nipple to nipple.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello. My milkshake also brings the boys to the yard.
Yes, indeed.
They live long and prosper. Better than yours.
I'm pretty sure it was AI generated, but it was quite good.
Oh, it was very good. Yeah, very well done.
Figured why not play it here?
We actually just watched the Strange New Worlds episode that features the little crossover between Upper Decks or Lower Decks. Star Trek, Upper Decker.
Upper Decker, the Upper Decker. So how was it? So I know everyone said they've loved it if you like both shows. How'd you feel? Do you like it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, that was great. It was extremely well done. And it kind of in the similar vein to Barbie, there was so many ways that could have ended up being really cheesy and goofy, but it was done extremely well.
So having not seen it yet, if this is a spoiler,
but wanting to be spoiled, I'll finish your sentence for you.
If you don't want to spoil it, you don't have to. But here's my question. Does animation come up in the conversations, I guess is what I'm saying? Or are they treated like it's just a different Star Trek show? It happens to be animated for us, the end user, but in Star Trek world, it's just lore. It's just they're people working in the lower decks in the future, obviously, but they're not animated. Do they get into that, or is that something?
I'm not even going to go into that. Okay. They all exist in the same universe, and so yeah, there's
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough. That tells me they address it. So that's good.
Because there's a great that episode is just done really, really well.
Because it seems really hard to do, and I'm glad to hear that they nailed it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. How do you do something like that, right? How do you take it's kind of like how excited we were when we first saw Ahsoka. Oh, first episode tonight. Ahsoka in live action, Rosario Dawson in the live action stuff. It's like, oh my God, they did a great job of kind of translating this animated character into a live action thing.
That's a good litmus test, I guess, for what you're talking about. Well, so good. You know what? This seems like an impossible task, and somehow they pull it off, and I think that's great. So
yeah, yeah,
Good job. And
so far the season's been great, and plenty of Christine Chapel. I'll just say that.
Oh yeah. How far in are you? How many episodes?
I think the one we just watched, I think, is episode 7. Let me see here. I can look on my Apple TV here.
I think that's
remotely.
Right.
Seven. Yeah, sounds we right. just finished episode 7.
All right, so you're on the latter half of that, the back
eight,
nine.
I think it's, well, let me see how many episodes. View details. There are a total of 10 episodes, so we have 3 left.
Okay. Yeah, you're nearly there.
Nearly there.
A successful watch of Star Trek coolness. Exactly. So I'm pretty sure I watched a kid pee himself at a soccer game yesterday.
Okay.
And the reason I'm not 100% sure about this is because I just didn't have any kind of confirmation, and nor was I going to seek it out. But
yeah,
we went to Van's. So Van had a big day yesterday. He had his first day at pre, I guess, what is pre-K called? There's a word
pre-K.
For it. It's not kindergarten, but it's the thing before that. Is it just preschool?
Preschool. Yeah, that's what we called it.
Okay. Preschool. I think that's what it
but
was.
But I don't know the Salt Lake lingo, but we called it preschool here.
pretty sure that was it. Anyway, he did that in the morning, and then in the afternoon he starts his new city soccer team tournament thing. Mm-hmm. And he loves it. Loved it last year. Is super stoked to play again. So we went out there. We're going to try to go to all his games. They're all on Mondays, which is good. Mm-hmm. For me, so we go out there, we're watching them play, and of course it's just ridiculous. Nobody knows what they're doing, and you know, there's like one kid who's like a really good little soccer player he's got a future in the sport, and he's making all the goals. But everybody else is just kind of dancing around. Van doesn't really care.
Yeah, it's typically the ball and then a mass cluster of kids all moving around that ball, like from end to end.
Yeah, just dancing around it. And Van, yes. Van's case, he's like encouraging everybody. He's going, get in there. And he's like pointing at the ball, but he's not kicking it himself because he just doesn't understand that he's supposed to get in the scrum and kick it. Anyway, it's all dumb. Whatever. It's fun. It's a good time. And, anyway, about midway through this thing, I see a kid run, stop, hold his unit.
Oh, no. Yeah,
dance around for a second, kind of like do a little bit like this.
Yeah.
Then he turns to his mom, tears rolling down his face.
Oh.
And then ran to her, and I went, yeah, he peed himself. He peed. There's no way he didn't pee. And I felt really bad for this kid.
Of course, poor little guy.
And no one else noticed. Nobody. I'm not even sure the coach noticed. Good. I think they were all just like too busy watching other, you know, again, you're corralling chickens, basically.
You really are, yeah.
Herding
and
cats.
Good. You know, I mean, the kid doesn't need any further, like any embarrassment or anything like that. So good. It's good that nobody else noticed.
Yeah. And I wanted to run over there and just like give him like a, I don't know, we had cookies or something. Just
give him maybe not a hug, but a fist bump from a distance. With the other hand. Which hand were you?
What hand were you not holding your wet wiener with? Okay, give me that one.
Good little fist bump that hand, yeah.
But it reminded me some of the most embarrassing childhood experiences that you can have are with kids' sports, if you're unlucky enough to have them. Like, I don't know if it's been ages since I told the story on the show. I think I told it years ago, but I, you know, the day we dig pictures for our team just happened to be the day that I, little Scotty Johnson, didn't wear his underwear.
Sneaky nut punch.
Yep. So I, and because I'm tall, they had me kneel down in front of everybody.
Of course they did.
And you know, there's 8-year-old Scott with his doodle sticking out and forever to be there. And no one caught it during the time. Nobody said anything after they went. And, you know, this isn't like some digital photo you could like go, oh, let's go update this. This is the freaking 19, late 70s.
Yeah, there was retouching going on somewhere, but it wasn't on soccer photos.
Uh-uh. That was like government, you know, government spy shit at that time or something. So I guess what I'm saying is, oh, and then the coach the one year said, I had a real rough year that year. I just didn't play very well. It may have been the same year. And he at the trophy thing said, he's like, Billy, whatever. And he'd come up and people go, yeah, all right, Billy, you did great this year. Another kid had come up. All right, we got a little Eric. What's his name? Yeah, well done, Eric. Scott Johnson. I'd come up and he'd go, well, at least you showed up. And then my brother just about kicked that guy's ass. He was so pissed. Oh. So I guess what I'm saying is, it brought a lot of feelings up, you know? seeing this kid have his little moment of humiliation, and I just kind of went, oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, it's a formative time. It's important for kids to you know, I think it's good for them to have good recreational competitive moments like this. It's good for them to learn teamwork, goals. Like, literally, it'll help you understand what having a goal means and what you got to do to get there and all that. These are all important life lessons. But sometimes you pee yourself and sometimes your doodle's out. And I don't know what else to tell you.
You know, and those are life lessons too, though. Those are just as important.
Well, I'll never do it again. I can tell you, I learned my lesson.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a that's where it goes. It's like, yeah.
I think it did keep me out of wanting to do sports, though, for the rest of my...
Really? Just the whole exposed ween thing? Wow.
Part of it was the coach acting like I barely did anything that season. There was just like a combination of things where I'm like, I don't want to feel that way ever again. That was awful. Why would I want to feel that again? So I just, you know, when people would say, hey, you want to do tryouts for whatever? I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
You know, I could see it keeping you out of things like wrestling or track stuff with shorty shorts. Yeah. Maybe don't they wear like full on like head to toe gear and fencing? Maybe fencing is where you needed to go.
I don't know if
that.
Our school ever had fencing. That would have been cool. I would have done that.
That would have been cool. Yeah, we didn't have fencing at ours either.
We weren't fancy enough. We had rich kids in our school. About half the school was like super rich families and the other half was like middle class to dirt poor.
Yeah.
And it never quite got to the level where they got their way to have all their fancy stuff. But the school, Alta, which wasn't too far from us, was a big rival of ours. They had fencing. They had all the fancy sports. You know, I think they even had some kind of polo shit going on.
Oh, really? Oh, geez.
Yeah. Okay. And I think the closest we had was golf. We had golf.
Yeah, we had golf. We had bowling, which was a weird sports course to take. It was the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Of course, I took it.
You did? Awesome. Tell us all about this. How did it go at the bowling?
It was great. I mean, basically, you know, we got coached in bowling, like how to do simple hooks, how to, you know, what the way to finish a frame, certain spares, the way to pick those up, obviously scoring. But honestly, it was like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we just met at the bowling alley across the street from the school first thing in the morning.
It was right
and
there.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, I feel like we went to class and just talked about bowling. I can't. Now that I think about it, it's like, what did we do on those days that we weren't at the bowling alley? It feels like we just talked about bowling. Like, what do you do?
They have like a classroom component, though? Like some kind of weird. What would you do in there?
I don't know. I don't know if it was like scoring or what do you do if you're not at the bowling alley?
That is a really weird thing. And that was
I swear to God, I can't remember what the...
I assume it was like PE credit, right? Like
yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And
it's perfect PE credit for someone like me who really doesn't want to go and play any like physical competitive sports. No, thanks.
Yeah, this wasn't my jam. I wanted to be in AP art all afternoon. That's all I wanted to do.
Me and a dude named Kevin Smoot. We were like the bowling buddies because he was in a lot of the same classes as me, and so we'd pretty much hang out all the time as like a, you know, one of your close friends in those days.
Sure.
And he had an ulcer, so that was his excuse as to why we had to keep going to Dairy Queen that was also down the street from the school and get ice cream. It's like, yeah, I've got an ulcer. It's like, oh, really? And that makes your ulcer feel better, which I that's what I hear, right?
Yeah, milk and dairy is good on your ulcers. Yeah. It's ultimately bad for it in the long term, but it is in the moment, it is very soothing, is what I understand. Wow, and an ulcer in school, that would be rough.
God, no kidding.
What was that from? Did he just nervous kid, or what was his deal?
I don't know. Maybe it was a... what do they call that when you're kind of congenital? Defect kind of thing.
Oh, could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, stomach shit like that when you're young is bad because usually it just gets worse.
It's not going to get much. All right, exactly.
By the time you're 25, you got a colostomy hanging out and you're, you know, all that.
Yes. Exactly. Jay Fantastic says, Kevin Smoot, did he write the movie Clerks?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's your Mexican non-union equivalent, Kevin Smoot.
Chasing Omi.
Yeah. Pedro and Alicia make a porno or whatever.
Right. That's your go-to, Kevin Smith. You got...
I couldn't think of anything else. What else is there?
Ball rats. You've got...
Tusk. I just think of all the stupid side... like the extreme ones.
Silent Bob.
You know, I like to go for the fringe a little bit. The Smoot character. I knew a Smoot in high school. I wonder if they were related at all.
Well,
I knew some Smoots. There was the Smoots up the street that I knew. Mm-hmm. But they didn't play golf or have ulcers or a bowl.
Yeah. Nice.
We got a little something here from Dr. Nikki. We love hearing from Dr. Nikki.
Oh, yay. Yes.
When she's not busy pushing clone sheep out
squeezing,
the door.
Right. Exactly. Squeezing brains out of sheep.
Yeah. She's she's got other thoughts. Anyway, she listens to the show and she always has a little thought here and there on something we've said. So today we're going to find out what her take is about melons. Because we talked about melons, like thumping them. That whole thing.
Yep, the sound right exactly. What specifically you're listening for that tells you something is ripe when you thump a melon.
Yep, that is the context. So let's let Dr. Nikki tell us what's what.
Hi, Scott and Brian. Nikki here for the morning stream. I just listened to the episode where you're talking about picking the perfect cantaloupe, and I happen to have much expertise in this milieu. So as you know, I'm Eurotrash, and I grew up in the south of France, and we got most of our vegetables at the farmer's market. And so my grandma, who... you know, as a typical grandma, has a garden full of vegetables and knows everything about fruits and vegetables you could ever imagine, taught me exactly how to pick the right cantaloupe. So first, she says, you have to find the market vendor. And by the way, yes, I know this is not going to have any practical application when you go to like Costco or whatever, but this is just how you do it. You find the market vendor whose head looks like a cantaloupe. Listen, I don't know. I don't make the rules, but that's what you have to do. Then you pick a cantaloupe and you do smell the little butt part and it's supposed to smell like really good cantaloupe. If it smells kind of like nothing, then it's not ripe yet. And that actually comes from the fruit emitting ethylene, like kind of like bananas when they go ripe. Anyway, I'm nerding out. And then, yeah, you thump it. And if it sounds kind of hollow, then it could be rotten. It could be like dried out in the middle. But if it sounds kind of like nothing, like no echo, then it's probably also not right. That's how you get a good cantaloupe.
Wow.
I love the show, though.
Everything she mentioned makes sense to me, except for the totally head shaped like a cantaloupe bit. Like,
yeah, exactly. Fine.
I'm gonna
find the fruit tenders that looks like cantaloupe.
But I'm never gonna not think thing. Of that.
You know,
now.
I go play craps. I look for the pit boss whose head is cube shaped.
He looks like a six-sided die.
Looks like a six-sided die, yeah.
Yeah. No, I look, every time I go to a store and we're near melons, I'm looking now.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a clerk or anybody. Anyone
look
here
for
with someone a head?
Who's head shaped like a cantaloupe. I feel like picking up a cantaloupe and just going right for the hole, I feel like I need to ask its permission first. Yeah. I mean, like, is this okay? All right, I'm going to smell your stem hole.
Yeah, your little stem hole. Yeah, or at least take it to dinner first or something, you know.
Right, something. Just something.
Yeah. I've now that I think about it, I have done this because I think Kim does this. If it's a cantaloupe, she'll smell the, we call it a hole. It's not a hole. It's the stem thing.
It's the belly button, really. It's where the cantaloupe was attached to its...
to its nutrient-rich plant-based groundwater, exactly. Whatever, sure. Yes. And I've done that before because she says, oh, that's how you can tell. My problem is I don't know what smells right, and she does. Mm-hmm. So So if it smells a little fermented, I think you're like, oh, overripe. If it smells under-fermented, like anything, then you're like, oh, this isn't ready enough. I don't think I've got the taste for when's the right moment, you know?
I think you've got a great solution. You just go to the grocery store with Kim when she goes, and it's like going to a winery with someone who's a real onophile is, they taste it and they say, okay, take a drink of this and look for the notes of oak or smoked barrel or something like that, right? And you taste, oh, now that you say it, or orange peel or something like that. Now I can taste that. You need a Sherpa. And I think Kim could be your Sherpa in a situation like that.
It's like your Mitzula in Vegas or Barry at a wine farm or
exactly.
whoever. Brian exactly. at a trivia competition.
Wine farm.
Wine, you know, where they farm wine.
Yes,
you know?
Where they farm wine, yes.
You know, it'd be funny if you went with him to a winery and his way of testing.
I have gone with him to a winery.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And if his way of testing wine was to just deep throat a bottle, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? He just suddenly went gaw all the way down his throat. Oh, this one's corked. Great. This one's corked.
This one's corked.
I love the term corked because it means bad, right?
Yes, yes.
But what was it? Faulty Towers, I think, has an episode where...
It's off.
Someone says it's corked, and he says, well, of course it's corked.
Oh, yes, right, yes.
And they have a whole argument because Basil Fawlty does not understand that corked means bad.
What corked means, right.
It's
right.
A great episode.
Is that the same? These kippas are off.
It might be. That is one of my favorite. That's season two or series two, yes. Episode one. Yeah. Or four, maybe? Anyway, that is one of the greatest half hours of television comedy in the history of the planet.
It really is. And it's an example of how you can do slapstick and not make it feel completely contrived and planned. Because he is running from, you know, balancing these people, and this person wants a Waldorf salad. And
it's so good, you guys.
Apples, celery.
Celery. That's a different episode, but still, that's the your point.
Oh, is that
well
a different
made.
Episode?
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah. It's a great episode also. Like, there's no bummers in that entire run. They're all funny.
Genie says season two is garbage. I can't.
Genie!
No, there's no episode of that show that is garbage.
Genie, you got the don't tell the Germans about the war. Don't bring up the war to the Germans. You got the you got that one where he's hiding kippers in his vest and the guy dies in his room and...
A lady who won't put in her hearing aid because it wears the batteries down.
Yeah, series two. Genie. We're going to have a long conversation.
I would say the worst episode of Faulty Towers is still better than the best episode of something like Modern Family or Cheers or whatever. Like, that show is on a whole different level.
And it's completely 100% rewatchable anytime. It's the kind of thing I can just flip on. I mean, the only problem with that show is it's only on like BBC, whatever their app is. I forget the name of their app.
Yeah. Oh, really? There's no other streaming for it?
They used to have it on Netflix for a long time. And then when that British app, BritBox happened. And then they were like, bring all the cool shit over here now. Keep all your British things here. And then it stopped being available in like more common areas. And I don't sub to that. So I guess I'd have to find a more complex way to watch it.
It's BritBox is so misleading because it's like, oh great, I see this and I'm like, great, this is how I can finally watch Later with Jules Holland, a great music show that you just can't find online anywhere. No, BritBox doesn't do it either.
If they're going to put Brit in their name, they should have all British things. That should be everything I want that's British should be available there.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that's too much to demand. All right.
Would you? I mean, that basically is like saying, you know, all the content that's on Hulu, Netflix, Max, Peacock, Paramount, it should be all in one app. It should just be all available on one app.
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will not hold up in court if I try to push that one.
So, you know how you get notifications in the top corner of your screen letting you know? I did just get one for an article and the. The Hollywood Reporter, the 40-ish most important people in podcasting. Should I really quickly scan this list and see if you or I made the list?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, but also make a guess that neither of us are in this list.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, deservedly for their thing. Alex Cooper, Audie Cornish. Oh, these are all in alphabetical order? No, they're not. Jon Favreau, Jon Lovett, Tommy Viator. These people who are important in other categories.
See, this is the problem. This is why I hate these lists like this, because all it is ex-actors or current actors and comedians who made a podcast, and I hate that.
Yeah.
Jon Lovitz is not important to the medium. He just made a podcast, and I like
him. He made a good podcast, I'm sure, but...
Sure, he's fine. Actually, I don't like his show very much. I did listen to it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't listened to his show.
It's not what you...
It
I don't know.
Stinks.
I wish it was more of that.
Is that the review that...
I wish it was more like that and less like... He's kind of a... he's pissy. He's not a happy comedian guy. Yeah. I don't know. Just rubs me wrong. It's not my favorite.
Yes, yeah, scanning list. No.
We're not on there.
It's split up between talent, like on-air talent, and executives. And so the people from Acast, Odyssey, which I've never heard of, audio platform, formerly known as Entercom.
No idea.
Which is also a bad name.
Entercom. Oh, my gosh.
Entercom. But now they're called Odyssey. AUDACY.
Either one sucks.
Audible, Higher Ground Audio, iHeart. I remember the guy when I was sitting there cradling like 8 awards at the podcast awards that we did really well at, but also I was picking up awards for other people, and Chris Jericho called me funny hat guy. The head of iHeartRadio came over to me and says, "I don't know who you are. Should I know who you are?"
Wow.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, "You should, you mother." I don't remember what I said, but it was probably something like,
"You dirty bastard, of course you should know me."
I said, "You should know who I am," or yeah.
Damn.
Because I've been doing this a lot longer than you have, old man.
All those guys, like, look, I'll admit this, and it's fine. We are all, when I say we, I mean you, me, Merritt, a whole litany of people.
Yeah.
I think we are the Diamond Rio to the industry's iPod.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once that happened, everyone forgot about you. No more creative nomad. No more. Half the people hearing me say this don't even know what the frick I'm talking about. That's
right.
Because
the
iPod eclipsed it.
Creative jukebox. What's
exactly
that?
So when all these Rogan types and freaking Mark Marons and everybody else came in and then claimed to have invented the industry, it's fine. It was built on our backs. We did our work. We're still here. We don't need your damn recognition. Go write your articles about iHeartRadio. We don't care. We're fine.
We're totally fine. We're doing just fine. We don't need your accolades, your lists, your who's who in podcasting.
Yeah.
We know who we are.
Yeah, we know who we are. We know who you are. So F off. All right?
That's right. Exactly.
Shojo also has some advice for us if you'd like to hear it. Would you like to hear Shojo's advice?
Of course I'd like to hear Shojo's advice.
I like when she calls in. She cracks me up. And Yeah,
it's like listening to her TikToks, which are also extremely
a little bit. I noticed she started playing Final Fantasy 14 in her TikToks, which surprised me.
Oh, really?
Didn't see that coming. Yeah, I had no idea.
No.
Anyway, here's what she had to say.
Hello, this is your friendly neighborhood Shojo with a pro tip. The best napkins to steal is from Chipotle. Okay, bye.
Why, though?
Yeah, I do want to know. I would like to know why.
Also, why do you have to steal them? They're not cloth, right? You just take some.
No, but you know, I think if you take any more than you need for your current meal, you're stealing.
Oh, that's interesting. So if I go grab a wad, okay, this is a good question. How guilty should I feel? Because I'll do this sometimes.
Yeah.
If they keep them up front, you know, wherever we're at, instead of at the table, I will go up front and I will pinch off a good thick stack.
Just for the two of you, for you and Kim.
For me, Kim, maybe Carter's with us.
This many napkins. Yeah.
Like yesterday, we were at. I'm not sure where we got. I guess the napkins came with the meal, so that doesn't count. We were at In-N-Out, and they were. That doesn't count. But I'm just trying to think. Last time I did this, I think it was me, Carter, and Kim, and I just grab a big old wad of it. Depending on the, you know what? There's factors like grease factor.
Yes, for sure. Like sloppy, if you're at a wings place,
right? Wings place. There you go.
You need a big stepanakins.
Stepanakins.
Stepanakins. Zach Stepanakins.
That's
one of my favorite comedians of all time.
Oh yeah, between two bushes, he used to host that show.
They're far better.
Is it wrong?
Napkins are crap, by the way. They're the thinnest, garbagey.
Oh, I'll bet they're bad. Yeah.
So Shojo, you don't say why though. You just say Chipotle has the best napkins, and then you say you got to grab enough for your car and your house, and that is the deal. Like my rule is, if I take a ton of napkins, the rest are going in my car.
We don't throw them away either. We took whatever we had in the car. So our glove box is, you know, it's got five or six napkin types in there.
But if Chipotle is so good, tell us why. Tell us why.
Yeah, why is Chipotle so? Is she in the chat today? I don't know.
She is. Yeah.
Okay.
She just hasn't said what makes them so good.
Well, I'd be curious what the deal is. Why? Because are they just thicker? Are they more absorbent? Are they made from better material? Thicker stock? You know.
I know. She's leaving us hanging. We're like stalling to see if she can give us. Oh, there we go. They are thick, made from recycled materials, and absorb the best.
Okay. Recycled. Okay, that's cool. I support that.
Yeah.
Because then I'm going to take them home and use them for other stuff and then put them in the recycling bin, which I'm never sure is going anywhere to be recycled. That's the thing. I've lost all faith in that.
Head and Teller have ruined us, haven't they?
They really did. And not only that, then the pandemic came and ruined us further because during the pandemic, we were told by our local trash pickup, don't put any more plastic in the thing. I'm like, literally plastic?
We've got enough cardboard. You could just throw that away. We've got plenty. We're never going to be able to get all this cardboard sorted out. You guys are getting way too much stuff from Amazon.
These are hard truths, man. I don't like, it's not an easy thing to hear and then swallow. But so now I'm just like, I'll say to Kim, I'll go, is this recyclable? And I'll do it sarcastically. Be like, does this plastic bowl? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, I don't know either.
I know exactly the sarcasm level. It is the sarcasm level of the dude at the end of Die Hard, the reporter, when he gets punched by Bonnie Bedelia and he looks over the camera and says, did you get that? That's the level of sarcasm. Oh, right?
I love that one. That's such a great moment.
Such a great moment.
But cans, I'll always do the cans. Cans always go in the recycling because I'm told that those aren't actually getting munched up and turned into iBooks.
We can't do styrofoam recycling in our bins. Even the stuff that has the little triangle with the arrows.
Right. What changed? Because that didn't used to be. Styrofoam was a very recyclable material back in the day. What happened? Yeah. Was it never that way? Was it all being taken to a landfill and I was just being lied to?
Right. Exactly. Is it just, we don't have the facilities. It just exposes more CFCs into the atmosphere.
And then sometimes I'll hear, like this morning, I hear the truck come, to do the trash. It's on Tuesdays. And I hear them going, brr, brr, doing all their stuff. And in my mind, I'm going, half that shit's going on the thing. You guys are lying to me. Like, I just have no trust for it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
But, yeah.
Little vinyl says the triangle icon doesn't mean recyclable.
Oh,
it's
what's
just
it,
a rating.
What's it supposed to mean? No.
Yeah, I thought, wait a minute.
No.
I thought that the triangle indicated this is a recyclable item.
It might mean, there may be a number on there to say how recyclable, but that's a recycle. Right. It shows the arrows doing the thing, and they're going recycle.
Exactly. Explain a little vinyl. What does it mean?
Yeah,
what does it mean?
This is horseshit. That's what this is. Well,
type of plastic. All right.
Shoujo and Nikki, thank you for your...
I guess we'll have to do our own research, Scott.
Okay, great.
Recyclable, but not necessarily recyclable in your jurisdiction. That's the understanding that I have, is that the triangle means that it's recyclable. Doesn't necessarily, like the little letters and stuff underneath it tell you what kind of recyclable it is.
Oh, okay. So it could be regional or it could be all sorts of meaning there. But
right.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain plants that can do that sort of thing. But that's the way I understood it. And are you saying that it's different? Like, are you saying that triangle, like there's stuff that has a triangle that's not recyclable anywhere?
That is either out, that's them trying to get away with something, or that isn't correct. That has to be a little bit, right?
There has to be a little recyclability to something.
As in the chat says, it's all BS. Plastic is almost 100% non-recyclable. Oh, we're gonna give somebody out there knows more about this. We need someone to write in or call in, tell us more, because I need to know.
Yeah,
Brian and I need to know. Okay,
we need to know. We want to know more.
If you want to, 801-471-0462. Can I say this too? Dr. Nikki has the coolest accent. It's barely one. Like it's kind of gone, but it's enough.
Just enough.
He's like, someone was raised somewhere in Europe somewhere. I can taste it in there. Just a little something there. I'd love it.
I do too.
She could read me a book and say,
She could tell me a story about a satellite who's finished their purpose and it's floating off into space.
That's right.
That's what she could do.
Just wanted to read me at night and go, Mary found a single sheep and then took its DNA and made more sheep out of the one sheep. Now there are multiple sheep. Good night, Scott, she'd say.
None of them now have brains.
None of them have brains. All right. Let's move on to some news. It's important that we inform people, not just entertain them. So we'll do that now. Time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Will there be a Coverville this week? No, I won't, because I'm traveling, but I'm glad you brought it up so I could talk about it. No, taking a week off from Coverville and Guess the Connection, which means that you've got an extra week to win these kick-ass prizes that I'm giving away for this time's Guess the Connection, which I think is the Groot Watch? I think it's a really cool, let's see here.
Hold Groot Watch.
Yes. Cool. This week is, yeah. So check this out. This is what you can win.
See what you got. Let me see. It's way here. I got to see it to believe it.
Got to see it to believe it, Scott. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, look
nice
at
little
that.
Box.
Nice.
And it's a Groot watch.
A functioning Groot watch?
Still has the plastic on it and everything.
How do you tell? I can't tell if they're... How are the second-hand, minute-hand, all that stuff work out on there? How's it
they're
look?
Green. It's hard to see on camera, but it's there.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of see it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it real wood or not wood? Alien wood?
It's alien wood. It is fake. It feels... No, it doesn't feel like wood.
It's my favorite George Harrison single is Alien Wood. It's really good.
Yeah. I once had a girl. Anyway. Not only that, you get an Elekid little sculpture card thing and a Magneto enamel pin right there. All that this week giveaway on Guess the Connection. And even if you're not a current patron of Coverville, you can go to patreon.com/Coverville. Join for $1 a month. And you'll get that episode, and you'll have a chance to win. And you've even, like I said, you've got an extra week to try and win if you figure out what the connection is.
I like that. I also think Magneto's button being enamel is kind of ironic.
Like it has a metal back to it, but it is. Yeah.
This is something I just wonder if they'd let him have in his weird cage they built for him in the movies,
right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's how they kept him in prison. No, yeah. I'm sorry, all of our weapons are enamel, so we can't.
Wasn't that the deal? They were all like plastic guns, and
yeah. Was that it was the second film.
Second one.
Second one was so good.
The second one was great. People don't remember how good two was. Two had Stryker in it, played by Brian Cox.
Brian Cox.
Yeah, that's good.
And Lady Deathstrike, you had
and we had a Colossus. Hint of Phoenix,
a little bit of Colossus.
Did we have Colossus? Oh yeah, we did. It was early though, like at the school or something.
Yeah, I think he still busted through part of the dam or something. But
things didn't.
Oh
yeah,
and you get Juggernaut, bitch. You get him in there too, don't you?
I thought that was third.
Was that third? Maybe it was third.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, now that you say that, I think it was third. That facility where they were holding Kitty Pryde.
And she's running through walls and he's breaking through walls.
He's breaking through them, yeah.
That's right. Oh,
I'm the transporter, bitch.
Let's do this story. Speaking of wine.
Yeah.
Wine lovers, get ready. Here's a story for you. California Wine Company has 2,000 bottles seized for fermenting wine in the ocean illegally. I didn't even know you could do this in the ocean, but apparently you can. I'll bet Barry knows about it because he knows all that wine shit.
So they bottle it and then just put it in, hide it in the ocean?
Well, it says...
I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah, here's what they say. They lost more than 2,000 bottles of wine and other alcoholic beverages to the city government after illegally fermenting their product in the ocean. Still doesn't make sense to me. Ocean Fathoms... Well, that's literally their company name.
Yeah, feels like that should have been the tip-off to the to the ATF is that maybe they're Ocean Fathoms. Where are you holding your wine? On land?
On land. Totally on land, not in the
ocean. Fermenting totally on land, that's why we're calling
it. Yeah, we swear we're not putting it in the water.
How deep are you doing your wine? Fathoms?
This is Santa Barbara District Attorney who's after them. It's part of their plea agreement. Let's see. Local wastewater treatment plants took care of the alcohol and glass bottles. They were all recycled. Uh-huh. Wink, wink. Recycled. Better check the number.
Glass, I believe. Glass and aluminum, I feel like they do and do pretty well.
I think so, too, because that's how we get all our MacBooks, you know? People melt down those cans.
Aluminium?
Aluminiums, yeah. Whatever happened to that guy? What's he doing?
Jonathan Ive?
Yeah. Is he just chilling now?
He's just sitting there designing stuff in his house.
Because he's not with Apple anymore, so I don't know who he's working for.
Great aluminium toilet paper roll holder. that I've invented.
Because I will admit to something. Seamless. I realize it's kind of bullshit. All right, but I loved his videos where he would narrate the design of the AirPods or of a new phone bezel or whatever.
And he was, you know, so proud of the fact that there were no seams. Just like feels like it's carved out of one piece of aluminum.
Seamless.
Milled out of one piece of aluminum.
Something about that guy's voice. It's pretty good.
I like it.
Let's see here. The disposal of their wine was the result of a plea agreement where two of the three founders pled guilty. What did the third guy do? I ain't falling for this.
Well, we got two-thirds of them.
I guess so. To misdemeanor charges for illegally discharging material into the U.S. waters, selling alcohol without a license. Well, that's a whole other thing. In addition to aiding and abetting investor fraud, a very other thing. According to the attorney's office, Emmanuel Rezzito and Todd
Azzaretto
and Todd Han. He's boring compared to Azzaretto.
Sure. I would say Han for him, but yeah, whatever.
Han Solo.
That's how Jessica Han spelled it.
That's true. Remember her whole deal? She was pretty good.
remember her whole deal.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch? How about another rabbit hole, Scott? Did you watch that Jim and Tammy Faye Baker movie with Jessica Chastain? And
I wanted to, but didn't.
The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
I heard it was great. Yeah, I like her a lot, the actress. I do not like the people they're basing this on.
No, absolutely not. But it felt like it had just enough kind of borderline comedy that was just comedy because these people were really funny, unintentionally really funny. The stuff they did, right?
Spider-Man number two was the
that's Jim Baker. Right. Andrew Garfield. I was trying to remember who was Jim Baker in this.
Yeah.
And who do you remember who was Jessica Han in that?
That was someone famous. I don't remember. I remember these other two castings and not that because I hadn't seen it, but I remember the time
Vincent
going.
Vincent D'Onofrio, Cherry Jones. Vincent D'Onofrio was Jerry Falwell.
Oh my gosh! Did he do a crying admission that he was?
I think so. Yeah.
Masturbating.
Gabriel
or whatever.
Olds was Pat Robertson.
Ugh.
Where is?
We didn't talk about how. Look, I don't want to celebrate anyone's death, and the guy was in his 90s. Okay, but I'm kind of glad. I'm glad that guy's not around anymore.
I know. Yeah.
He was a terrible.
Yeah, he did. I just feel like he did more harm.
He did
than
a
good.
Lot of harm and very little good. Plus, that whole thing with the Guitar Hero line. I mean, we'll cherish it forever and we'll play it on the show anytime we feel like it. But, you know, that lady and her Guitar Hero question is the only good thing that ever came out of that whole thing.
It really is. Anyway. I am not finding who played Jessica Han in this.
Crap.
It's all right.
Well, I'll watch that.
Move along.
Is that streaming? Is that a thing I can...
It's got to be streaming somewhere. Let's see here.
Is that a thing I can bump in front of Parasite? You know, just stick it out in front and...
You can pretty much bump anything in front of Parasite.
I look forward to doing that.
All this talk recently about Click, Click, Boom, the Andrew Garfield thing. Oh, yeah, you can only stream The Eyes of Tammy Faye on... What is this? What is this thing?
What's it called?
Wow Presents.
Wow Presents?
That's where it looks like.
So blizzard.com, everybody. Get over there.
Exactly. Wow Presents Plus. Because, you know, if you don't get the Wow Presents free version.
Well, if you already subscribe to World of Warcraft, you can get it for free. So you'll be fine. That's a bad joke. Moving on.
I was just trying to figure. I'm on this site, Wow Presents Plus. Their menu items are Browse, Search, Drag Race Availability, Merchandise, Dragon Con UK, Tours. I don't know what this thing is. What is this?
That's really... Why would they have
streaming
that?
Streaming service. Browse, Search, Drag Race Availability, Merchandise, Dragon Con UK, and Tours.
Dragon Con? It's a Dragon Con thing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Drag Con. Drag Con
Drag
UK.
Con. Oh, like drag. Like we're in drag.
So I guess that's what WoW Presents Plus is a... Yeah, WoW Presents Plus is the only streaming service featuring multiple RuPaul's Drag Race franchises, Pain with Raven, Work the World, and hundreds of other World of Wonder originals, documentaries, specials, and LGBTQ programming, all ad-free. I'm going to put this in here so that you understand why I just said that. This is the name, apparently, of a show. How would you pronounce that?
Let's see. You're putting it in the
chat. In our Discord. Thing. In our Discord chat.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's not just me. Yeah.
What the frick? Is that is that just a that's a show?
It's a show, apparently.
Hey, honey, get it. Come here. Is about to start.
Exactly.
That's stupid.
UNHHH.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
no. I don't like it at all. That makes me feel funny. Don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anyway, these guys, I guess, put wine at the bottom of the ocean or bottom floor of the ocean.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's where we were. We were talking about that.
And I guess it speeds up the process of fermentation. And they're not allowed to do that unless you are. Well, I think you're not allowed to do that at all. Because the ocean is, you know, it's a sacred place, Brian.
It's sacred
can't just
place.
Stick your shit in there.
We must protect the fishies.
Final story. Cop was arrested and fired for allegedly stealing Pokemon cards.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is way better than breaking into some apartment and killing someone in their sleep. I'll take this over that. But
that's
still.
Right. Put your hands up and give me that Snorlax.
Yeah, what are you doing there with your Charizard?
Jigglypuff.
Here's what what it says. In a bizarre turn of events, Alabama corrections officer found himself arrested and subsequently terminated for allegedly stealing Pokemon cards from a Walmart. The incident, which unfolded in full view of a loss prevention employee. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an interesting job. Do you know, I don't know if Tristan's still over there working there, but
he doesn't know. His last day was last week. He started his new job, yesterday at Meow Wolf.
Oh, nice. No
yes.
way.
So he's already really likes it. He says, oh my God, everybody here is super cool.
That's
great. This is
going
to be a great place to work.
I'm stoked for him. That's great.
What a cool thing. As customer service manager, he worked very closely with the loss prevention department. And those would be the guys who would have to tackle people on their way out of the store when they're trying to run out with an air conditioner.
I don't know why I find that so. I want to talk to someone who does that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Because you know they got stories, dude.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's great. Well, anyway, they caught him. He's a cop.
Caught him.
The allegations against Hardy assert that he stole Pokemon cards by surreptitiously opening multiple card packs and discreetly placing individual cards in his pocket.
Whoa. Oh. So, like, super shithead maneuver. Not just taking packs, but like, I'm going to open all these packs. I'm going to find the cards I want. I'm going to leave the other ones.
Yep. Nah. Yep. He got confronted, and then he fled on foot. All right. It's what you do when you leave a Walmart. I don't know what else you're going to do.
Hop flee on foot. Yeah. So, he fled on a rascal.
Yeah. Where's his hoverboard? Like, of course he fled on foot. The uninformed officer was subsequently found at a local restaurant, still in possession of the stolen Pokemon cards. He ended his career in law enforcement as a result. Nice going.
A wild corrections officer appeared.
Bing!
Handcuffs, super effective.
Well, that'll do it for your news, everybody. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dan, the tabletop man, will be here. I have it on good authority. He's going to have some interesting stuff to say about the opioid epidemic as well. Don't forget, sure. Dan's a pharmacist, a big one. Yeah. He's Big Pharma, we call him. Big Pharma.
Big Pharma.
Yeah. Remember that character in The Sopranos? They called him Big Pharma. Nope, that's the different P word. Different P word.
Maybe not exactly the name he had.
Not exactly. But Brian's going to...
Will he also talk about any sort of tabletop stuff?
I'm trying to think. May have been a tabletop dancer of some sort. Brian's going to play us a song, though, so we can get to him. Yeah. Hey, Brian, why don't we do that? What do you have there today?
Yes. How about a good song for an even better cause? Songwriter Melody Federer has a brand new single that she's released, a dreamy synth pop song that examines what happens when we fall out of love. That song is called, appropriately, Falling Out. Proceeds from the sales of these songs or the streaming, you know, every time you stream it or buy it or whatever, proceeds are going to be donated to the Mick Fleetwood Foundation to help support the Maui wildfire recovery efforts. Mm. So check that out. It's a good song, good cause. She has a brand new album called Chapters from the Fairy Tale, comes out September 7th. And maybe that title gives you some idea that, yeah, we're kind of getting into some Taylor Swift kind of pop sounding stuff here. Whatever. I like it, and I want you to hear it. She's currently signed to the Licorice Pizza Records label. Here is Melody Federer and the song Falling Out.
I can't help it when we said goodbye. It's harder than I thought trying to cut these ties. I was dreaming, now I'm almost awake. Don't wanna to see what's right in front of my face. I guess the higher you fly, the harder you fall. These broken wings are.
Causing both him and the Dragon Lord to fall into the depths of an abyss.
You've seen him. You play him.
Do tell who that artist was again.
Okay, that's a performer who goes by the name Melody Federer. Probably her real name. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, she's a musician who just released the song Falling Out. Again, proceeds go to the Maui wildfire recovery efforts. Her brand new album, Chapters from the Fairy Tale, comes out in a month, September 7th, on Licorice Pizza Records.
Nice. Related to the famous tennis player, perhaps? The Federer? What's his name?
Roger Federer?
Is that the guy?
Could be. Yeah.
Could be. I don't know how common that name is. I think it's French, here. Right?
A noted soloist as well as an accomplished writer for various musicians. Her style is genre agnostic and her stage presence is effortlessly versatile.
Whoa.
Boy, written by AI. No, I'm just kidding.
May as well be.
No mention. Yeah, I think that it would probably get mentioned if she was related to Roger Federer.
Yeah, you'd think so. That's a famous connection.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get Dan in here. We only get him once a month, so we're going to celebrate this moment by bringing him on and having a chat, and we'll start with this.
Here's a tangent for you. Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
It's Dan Dan the Tabletop Man joining us as he does once a month from his from the beautiful southwest of America. Or not southwest, southeast of America. You're on the wrong side of the
greetings
country.
Greetings, program.
Hey, man.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Kind of like mini southwest. I guess we are the southeast of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. A little bit north of Dunawayville.
Yeah, a little bit. But still, it's nice to have both Carolinas represented here. We got Bobby, you, Dunaway, all of you guys.
That's right.
That's right. Bobby's not very far. And I don't think Joe's right down the road too, I think, isn't he?
September's pretty close.
Yeah. You guys there's a real wad of you down there.
Yeah.
Just a big
apparently
chunk.
Not close enough or not important enough or something that you can't come see us at the Tadpole meetup. Apparently we don't rate. I know.
Oh my God. Do I ever want to get up there so bad? So my son is going to the Great White North for prep school hockey. And we have to drop them off over Labor Day weekend. And that was supposed to be my weekend to work over Labor Day. So I had to move it because we're going to be gone for two weekends because we're going to drive up there. And then the next weekend we drive back after a whole week of moving in and everything else to the boarding school. So I had to move my weekend to work to this weekend. Now, there is an outside shot in Ibbot. I may either text you or Dunaway to see where you guys are on what you're doing and such on Saturday, because there's an outside shot. I may be around Saturday, and it's like a 4-hour drive, but I do it for you guys.
Oh, for us, you do it. You're awesome.
Yeah,
you're
4 hours is a chunk, but yeah, it's worth it. These guys are worth it.
Sometimes we're not as busy on the weekend, so they ask us, do you want to take Saturday off and just work Monday? So I may take them up on that if they offer that to us, if it's not as busy.
How long of a drive is it up to where he's going to be at school? Is that a big?
Oh, we're going to actually, if we did it straight through, it probably takes about 14 hours to get up, because it's right across the border and it's in Sherbrooke. It's outside of Sherbrooke in Canada, which is up in Quebec.
Okay.
So it's Quebec. It's right north of of Vermont, like basically like a half hour north of the border of Vermont up there. So we'll probably drive up, take our time on Saturday, go stay somewhere, do a little, touristy stuff with DJ, and then drive up on Sunday and get there on Monday. And then all the stuff starts like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the school. So it's going to be weird, because we're going to be empty nesters, which is going to be
That is weird, right? Empty nesting is a very strange feeling. Brian and I can both sort of attest, although after pandemic, Carter came back, and I actually really like having her here. So I'm dreading the day that she goes again. But
yeah,
it's a weird feeling to be like, it's me and you again, like those early days,
Right.
What do you want to do? You want to get naked and get drunk?
We've embraced it fully. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, that sounds like fun, and also, grats to him. That's a very cool thing that he's doing.
Yeah. So he'll be up there for 3 years. He's reclassed to a sophomore, and speaking of sophomore, we just dropped Lauren down at Wilmington, UNC Wilmington, for a sophomore college year. So that's why we'll be empty nesters.
Jeez, look at you, man. Your whole family's growing up.
It's unreal. I mean, I remember, obviously we all remember when all of our kids were so young. It's nuts how fast, you tell all the people that have kids, don't blink, because you think it's going to be taking forever for them to walk or talk or go to school and do things on their own. And then they're out of your house.
It's over before you know it. I know. I don't like it. I don't like it. I miss a lot of that stuff. I get to relive it a little bit with these grandkids, but it's still weird to me.
So before talk about OxyContin and some opioids, I don't know if you guys saw this around Gen Con. You guys were just talking about all the Pokemon theft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the big news about there was a $300,000 theft of Magic the Gathering cards at Gen Con.
No, I didn't hear about this at all.
Holy cow. This is you can file this under dumb criminals as well. So two dudes, allegedly, I don't think they've been brought up on charges or surrendered yet, because I haven't seen it in the news in the last couple of days. So we'll throw the word allegedly on here.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
Taking pictures, carrying out a pallet of these, CCG cards, which were later said to be Magic the Gathering cards. They wore a T-shirt of the game they designed on Board Game Geek.
So like, they could do this quick smash and grab and stay and take these cards, but anybody seeing them says, well, we know who those guys are, because that's their,
and of course,
that's the game they're here to promote.
Everything else in the world, their game is the number one hotness on BGG right now. Doesn't mean it's been sold or anything, just hotness is basically on clicks onto their site.
Oops.
Onto their board game page. So this game is rose, and it's a terrible game. It's not great. But anyway, I don't want to say the name, because I don't give them any more publicity.
Yeah,
but
right, good.
You don't have to go far to find it. But this is, you would just think that you would have heard, you know, either arrests or turning themselves in or something like that, because you're on camera. Everybody knows, and they're just, you know, they're not a weird size where you could say, oh, that might not be them. No, you could tell who it is, basically, from these pictures. But anyway, that was, I thought you'd love
wild.
That story.
I was going to say, I make sure the suspect isn't all tattooed on his face and has a multi-million dollar record deal, because it sounds like something Post Malone would try to get away with. He loves those cards. Right.
That would be that for stuff. That magic card, that one ring Magic the Gathering.
$2 million,
wouldn't it be great to get a call from somebody like, hey, hey, Mr. Abbott, I got this. Yeah, I heard you got the card. Can I buy it for $2.5 million?
Yeah,
is that your Post Malone? Is that your impersonation?
Wow,
I'm not a very good Post Malone guy, but you know,
that sounds more like The Weeknd. Sorry,
Sorry, I'm getting them confused sometimes. All these the popular singers.
Speaking of which, if you've never heard their song they did together, people should seek it out. It's fantastic. The Weeknd and Post Malone's. The name of it, but it's very good. Anyway, well, Dan, let's talk real quick. So, for some reason, I finally got around to watching Dope Sick, like a year or more after Brian. I think 2 years after Brian recommended it.
Yeah.
Wow, has it been out that long? Dope Sick.
Yeah, 2021. I think so.
Okay.
And it was, I loved it. I really loved it. Most of what I loved about it was everybody gave just a series of insane performances. And I don't know a ton about the story about Purdue Pharma, and I don't, you know, how much of this is accurate, how much isn't, all that stuff. You're currently also watching that thing on Netflix, or have watched, what's it called?
Painkiller. So I've watched the first two of Painkiller, and I watched the first one of Dope Sick. And it's pretty amazing how they both cover a lot of the same things, and they give you some other kind of outside information of both of them, like, so you can getting even more information. The really powerful thing is, I believe it's Painkiller, at the beginning of each episode of Painkiller, somebody says, somebody comes on and says, while some of the names and some of the details have changed, what hasn't changed is the fact that my kid died at 40 because of being addicted to OxyContin. Right. And that's powerful at the beginning of this type of show.
I agree. There's some of that toward the end of Dope Sick, where they it kind of meshes. This is weird. It reminded me of this is really funky. It reminds me of Schindler's List, as they get toward the end, and Schindler is being reminded that he saved a ton of people with his list. You know, the list, and
the
then
list, but then the titular list.
Yeah, but then it morphs into a color footage of actual survivors going to his gravestone, putting stones on Schindler's gravestone. There's something about that kind of transition that sort of kind of happens at the end of Dope Sick. It's like, we're seeing real people with whose lives have been affected and all that. But anyway, all of this talk back and forth, and you and I have texted back and forth about it a little bit, about the difference between the shows and stuff, made me want to ask you a question, which is this. You've been in pharmacology for a long time, and because of that, I assume that a lot of when this was going down, you know, the crazy marketing push that Purdue Pharma and other opioid manufacturers were making, and doctors beginning to just like go crazy with their levels of prescription based on some of what turns out to be a big fat lie, all that stuff. Did you get to see some of that from your vantage point as someone in the industry? As it was going down? Like, how did you view all that?
A pharmacist. So I've worked in a pharmacy industry since the late 90s, because even when I was an intern, I worked at different pharmacies. And then I graduated pharmacy school in 2000. So I'm not a pharmacologist, but I am a pharmacist. I'm a doctor of pharmacy. So I have worked plenty of years of retail. I'm not in retail anymore, but I worked plenty of years, especially around a lot of the peak of what this is. I mean, we're still, I don't want to belittle it at all. We're still in a peak. I don't want to call it a opioid epidemic. I mean, these meds do a lot of good in the world. Generally, they're for chronic, you know, the people that have the crazy amount of pain and cancer pain. I can't stress enough how, you know, when you've had surgery or you've got really nasty things going on or cancer, these drugs do great good. However, as you could tell, even from, like I said, even from dramatization from there, that's not what they were looking for. They were trying to corner the market on just everyday pain, which is not a great thing for long-acting opioids. Now, we would see, and I also did a rotation for a couple of months with happened to be a guy I played hockey with. He's a doctor in Benson, and I actually went to his office and watched every day. But it was amazing, because this was back in the Wild West of of drug rep days. Now they've clamped down quite a bit on drug reps. Now I watched a drug rep bring in a set of golf clubs to my buddy's office that had his name on them and gave them to him.
Oh man!
Now I cannot tell you who the drug was, and I don't think it was an opioid or anything. And my buddy wasn't doing anything for Gazy. I mean, I was there for a long time. And if you ever watch, I don't know if you guys, if either one of you watched the episode 2 of Painkiller. Has because they both kind of go into kind of the drug rep mentality and
big
such.
Time. Yeah.
But there's in episode 2, I'm sorry, a little spoiler alert. The drug rep, the one girl that they're kind of training in episode, you know, in the first couple episodes, she goes into this doctor's office and this doctor just tears her a new one. And it's all stuff that, like, I've had the same conversations with somebody's drug reps where it's like, are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me it's less than 1%. Of addiction, what kind of damn studies have you done? Because that's horseshit. And there's no way an opioid has less than 1% addiction. You're full of crap. Do you know what this stuff is? It's basically heroin. You know, all this stuff comes from the same place. You cannot tell me there's no addiction to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's fast forward to a story I have for you guys. We can, and we can, my God, for the next few months, we can go into more controlled substances and I'm not controlled substances, more opioid type stories,
sure.
or thoughts and stuff. But I want to give you guys a personal story. Everything I say here is 100% true.
Okay.
I worked at a chain. It was Eckerd back then. I think Eckerd is out of business. I think they were bought by Rite Aid. I think everything's out of business. But I worked at this store at Eckerd, and right next to us, we had kind of an office park and it had doctor's offices in there. And we would get some scripts from people just walking over there. But the main thing that we would see was, we started seeing scripts for OxyContin, and we would see, and this was from a psychiatrist's office. Now, this is a little bit unusual for a psychiatrist to order pain meds, let alone a Schedule II narcotic in these kind of things. Now, Scott, I had you ask Wendy, do they see a whole lot of, controlled substances, not necessarily controlled substances, pain controlled substances and opioids. Mm. And I think she said basically, no, she doesn't do any of that.
She doesn't do any of that. Yeah, she told me that she doesn't prescribe opioids of any kind. In fact, she's slow to prescribe much of anything. She's one of those. Her practice and therapy is usually like focused on the cognitive stuff. Like it's all like in office type focus.
Yeah,
and so she's got psychiatrist friends who she will refer people to sometimes and say, well, this person clearly is in need of something, you know, we need some meds here, but she is, she is very slow to prescribe.
I'm not saying anything about, you know, that world does. I'm not saying they don't need meds. There's plenty of great meds for psychiatry and therapy and everything. This has nothing to do with that. This is OxyContin from a psychiatrist office. Now this doctor would send over scripts for OxyContin, 80, 100. And I'm talking, and I shit you not, 200, 300, 400 tablets at a time.
Jeez.
Now those doses are stupid. I cannot stress this enough. 100% true story. These doses you may see in cancer patients. And I've got no problem with that. Palliative care, end of life care, give them anything they need.
Yeah.
These were not with cancer patients because believe me, we called and asked. And back in the day, kind of like they were talking about where, there was a big push for pain. And let me say this too. This is something this is not just a me thing. This is something we're always taught. Pain is what the patient says it is, and I 100% believe that. However, kind of like the customer's always right. There's a limit to everything in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Like, sure, of course.
Pain is what the patient says it is. However, when the doctor's writing 300, 400 tablets of OxyContin 80, it's ridiculous. So the boards of pharmacy and medical boards initially didn't want us to refuse these scripts. And as a pharmacist, in this is a little different in a lot of different states, but you basically have a right to refuse any prescription. And that's generally, again, pretty universal. Usually that's kind of like wrong usage, wrong dosage, drug interactions, things like that are what you use it for. Boards basically said, hey, don't stop anything. But after a while, we just flat out refused to fill those. So one day, the skinny middle-aged dude comes in. He's really got bugged out eyes. He comes in and he starts giving my pharmacist partner, start giving her crap about filling these things. And I heard this commotion and I went over there and it was the doctor himself.
Oh, geez. So,
of course, I was having nothing of it. You don't come in and start screaming, yelling. Yeah. So he brought in these flyers from Purdue. I shit you not. He brought these flyers in about addiction and such. And we had a conversation, kind of like I said, almost like you see in Painkiller, about, you know, pain management, cancer, and, you know, and versus depression pain. And no one not having cancer needs 500 milligrams of OxyContin a day. Mm. Now, I hope I'm not offending anybody out there. If you're on 500 milligrams of OxyContin a day, listen, maybe you're the outside chance. I'm not trying to start anything there. I'm just saying 20 years ago when this was an early drug, I don't care how safe they claim it is. Nobody starts off with OxyContin as 500 milligrams a day. It's insane. So to wrap up this long story short, the doc got nailed by the boards, lost his license within maybe a year after we started to put the clamps on.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So he was up to some fugazi crap, and I don't know whether they were giving some back to him or selling them. Cause I know that, I don't know anything about like the illegal side, but somebody had told me one time that they would sell these tablets for $1 a milligram on the street.
Damn.
Which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really insane. I mean, the whole point of them early on was they were cheaper. Or at least that's what the story tells us, that you would when you would get a doctor who was willing to script these out, if you were going to resell these, you'd take them and crush them up, make them into vials or whatever, and then say, okay, well, this right. much is okay, this
so,
much.
So let's talk about that real quick. Yeah. So let's see. Well, I swear we'll get the games. So what happened at the beginning is they claimed about all this abuse, you know, that they weren't abused and less than 1% addiction. So what happened was with the old tablets, you could crush them. You would kill the mechanism, the long acting release mechanism. And basically it would just release everything. So people were crushing them. They were snorting them. I think they were smoking. They were doing all sorts of crap to them, jeez, injecting them, everything. And that's what caused the first outrage in the early 2000s. And then lo and behold, they came out with a new one where they changed the release mechanism, where if you crush the tablet, you kill all of the molecules, which is actually kind of a good thing for them to do. And so what do they have now? They have a bottle that says abuse deterrent. So we just gave them more crap to sell and have a better way to sell things to show that it's not abused, because they put the words abuse deterrent, which, sure, it's true, but the drug is still abused because it's still OxyContin.
Well, let me ask you this, because there's an interesting twist in the story for DopeSick anyway, where they are forced into putting a black label on there. And the way that black label was talked about, they didn't really get into the details.
Black box label, right?
Yeah, black box label, that's what it was. And they made that seem like such a big deal, almost as bad as like when cigarettes had to put cancer warnings on boxes or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And usually that's the death knell for a medication, like you're done if that's on there. Can you speak to that? Is that a thing? Is that a real thing?
So black box labels are usually when you get let's just say, I'm trying to think of a specific drug, but usually it would be with a drug where it says, hey, black box label is, if you're a man with this disease state, you cannot take this because you'll die. That's usually what you get as a black box label.
Okay.
I just use men for,
Right, sure, any of sure. Us. Just
if,
for example.
If you're, if you're a 6-foot white guy named Scott, you will die if you take this. But that's a black box label.
Okay, okay. You know? All right.
I don't remember what exactly they have on. I don't have my work computer up to see, but I don't remember exactly what the black. It's probably just that, hey, these are drugs of abuse and you can't, overuse them. Because what ended up kind of happening over time is, and they addressed this in one of the shows where it's like, yes, it doesn't necessarily last as long as it says, or certain people will have tolerance and such. And there's a lot of genetic stuff that's going on now to show that you may be a rapid consumer in your body, just, it breaks them down a little bit quicker. So they did start using some of these drugs three times a day, some of the OxyContin. I do see some people with heavier pain and cancer pain use it three times a day. Those are at normal doses. You're not talking about 400 milligrams three times a day for pain relief and stuff like that.
Right,
but
right.
So the black box, warning will be something that basically the reps will start having to tell the doctors, and then it may curb a little bit of certain prescribing for a little while, and you may see a dip, but it won't kill a lot of things, unless that, very rarely is that black box warning saying only, the only people in the world that can use this are other guys named Brian. What? It's not going to be that, it's not going to be that restrictive.
Oh, I love the idea of a Brian-based drug warning.
That's right. Exactly. It's your designer drugs. We talked about this before.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Right. They're really zeroing in on their market. I love that. That's great. Yeah.
There are some crazy black box warnings because there are some meds that just cannot be used by women, which makes it tough because, again, that's why they try to, the whole border of the world of transgender and stuff, which then there's anything wrong with that. But when you ask somebody for their sex and they give it to you, however, they don't really know you know, they may give you the their new sex, but your body is still going to be taking it because genetically you're still the other sex. So you may still react to certain meds a certain way. So there's a lot of studies going into how certain drugs are doing that. So that's something to be very
aware that makes
of.
Sense. If I transition and I went in there to my doctor, let's say a year after, you know, effectively transitioning, and I suddenly, if a doctor suddenly said, well, oh, all right, well, here you go, Mrs. Johnson, here's your, this drug, that she would normally just prescribe to all women who came into the thing, you're running a danger there because at least at a like atomic level, you may reject right. that at the same, yeah. the
and,
same
and
way
those,
any man
it's
would.
Extremely rare. It's not as right. common as, oh, hey, I'll give you this. So chances are, if someone's going to prescribe something that's rare, they're already going to know. It's just when you have emergent situations that can be, you know, that can be a hard thing to do. But again, there's just, you know, again, that's what kind of goes into that black box thing where they have such, you know, things you have to really watch for. And that did, you know, that did curb some things a while. And like I said, nowadays, almost every single opioid prescription, especially at the state level, because again, what I do is I do prior authorizations now, and I basically do them for Medicaid. So every single opioid prescription, whether it be Vicodin or OxyContin or even fentanyl patches or even something that's kind of a pseudo opioid, like they're starting like Tramadol, still now kind of widely considered an opioid. So all the scripts have to be prior authorized. So the doctors have to really show that they're using it for the right reason to keep the crisis a little bit more in check these days.
Right, right. Will. That makes sense. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of the so you're going to watch the rest of both of these, right? You're going to watch them both?
Yeah, absolutely. My wife and I are both watching them. We're kind of going back and forth, like watching a second of one and then watch a second of the other. But they're heavy, man.
Yeah, they're real heavy.
Yeah, they are. They're not, it's not light watching for sure.
No, right. not at all. But and man, the performances are so good. Like the one thing that's going to weird me out about the Netflix one is that Matthew Broderick plays Dr. The guy from Your Honor. Can't think of the actor's name. Anyway, the mob right. boss guy from Your Honor yeah. plays him.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to throw me to see that a little bit because I was so yeah. like bingy
that,
on
that. Right. That. Yeah.
So I'm going to see a new actor doing that thing, doing that weird yeah. voice and all that
and,
stuff.
And there's some stuff. They actually go into a pharmacy in that second episode and somebody starts freaking out and the pharmacist in there and they start talking to the pharmacist. And I think I mentioned years ago how like almost once a week you would see a forgery prescription. Back then, it was much higher than that. Back when the peak of the Wild West days of OxyContin and other opioid and Vicodin use, it was just rampant, the forgeries and how you would have to get really good at catching them, and you can't catch them. You know, you can't avoid stepping on a landmine every day.
Right.
It's insane.
Right. Well, there you go. A peek, just a tiny peek into that world, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. Dan, let's talk games. Yeah. I'm looking for, let's say we got a big, we do have a holiday coming up. You got the whatever day. What's the holiday coming up?
Labor Day
weekend.
You got the Labor Day weekend. You're sitting around going, oh, post Gen Con. There's so much. I don't even know what to go play. So I'm hoping you have some suggestions for everybody.
Well, yes and no. So I had all the solo things, but that's going to take me a little bit longer. So let me give you a recommendation.
All right.
And this is a game called Everything Ever.
Everything
this is from the
ever.
Same designer. Right. This is from okay. Floodgate Games. Like it's from the same designer, Nathan Thornton, who did, he also did Green Team Wins. He also did Medium, which is those two games I talked about a lot in here in the past. Great party games. And this would be an amazing game for the Tadpool Meetup because it's just such a great party game. And, you know, the key to a good party game is, kind of when you're done, nobody really gives a crap who won. You don't even really probably know who won.
I like that. It's
you just have a good time playing.
Did you have fun? Then everybody won, basically, mm-hmm. is the...
Yeah. Oh, I love this artwork.
It's really, really good. Yeah. So basically, everybody's got like kind of a hand of cards, and there'll be some cards on a table. People are going to be putting cards down. It'll say like every dinosaur movie or every brand of soap or different types of balls. So if, sorry for... It's just...
Yeah, it's just balls. I get it.
It's just balls.
You say balls, we all laugh. I get it. No, it's fine.
I'm uh, I'm apparently a 12-year-old trapped in a 48-year-old man's body.
Yeah.
So
looks good.
So anyway, those cards are in play, and on your turn, you're going to basically say something that fits in one of those categories and something that fits in the other. So maybe you'll say like Jurassic Park and Dial, and then it'll go over to, because again, we're going dinosaur movie, and so not talking about balls.
Sure.
Try to talk about balls as little as possible,
right?
Because that's not my area of expertise as a pharmacist. anyway. Right. So then he goes to Ibit, and he's got to do something that fits into those categories as well. You know, something that's not been said previously. If you can't think of something, you're going to play a category card from your hand, from the three cards you have in your hand, and cover up the one you're blanking on, then name something from that new category. Now, if you can't think of something for that category, you're going to take a pile of one of those, the cards, and then you're going to kind of flip a new category from the deck. If you say something that fits in both categories, which sometimes, you know, they line up pretty well, where you can think of, I don't know, if there was a dinosaur movie that had the name of a soap, you know,
yeah.
Dial Rex or something, or 65, you know, maybe there's a soap out there called 65.
Irish Springosaurus.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can get rid of one of your penalty cards. It's, again, all the little other stuff is not, the little minutia nobody cares about. It's just the fun of playing these cards and coming up when it, you know, no matter how easy you think something is, when it comes to your turn,
sure,
it's not as easy anymore.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know what? I love it. God, I like when a game can successfully be a good time without pure defined win conditions. You know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly.
Right.
That yeah. seems like, it seems like, not only is that awesome, it seems like really hard to do. Because mm-hmm. if you really want to keep everybody's attention and have a great time, normally the whole point of having win conditions is that that's part of it, right? Like,
yeah.
if you don't win, right. then what's the point? But if you can create a game where nobody cares about that, really? Mm-hmm. It's just about the experience of playing.
And that's what makes the best challenge. Party games, yeah. the best party games great. Like, sometimes they have, you know, a little bit more defined end game of it, where it's, oh, you only play for a few rounds. And again, that's also another good party game thing, because sometimes they just kind of wear out on their own and you're just like, all right, we're done. But if you have a good, you know, like Green Team Wins, which was also made by the same designer, basically there's three different types of questions. You have these fill in a blank questions, you have multiple choice questions, and then you have a this or that. And then everybody, when you you take a certain amount of randomness, so like five of each type of question, you shuffle them up and then you flip one over. And then it may say blank berry. And then everybody writes something down on their dry erase board, and then you flip it over. The majority rules in the game. So if whoever puts the same berry down, mm-hmm. they all get on the green team. So, and then you flip over the next question. Now you want to stay on the green team because, as the game says, green team wins. Mm. So throughout the game, you're getting more points for being on the green team and staying on the green team. And then, so you're trying to answer these questions and also stay in the majority. So your answer may change because, well, I know what Scott would answer for this question, but do I know what Ibit would answer? And right. then do I know what Tina will answer? So I got to try to fit what's the majority going to answer.
This has got...
So that makes Green Team Wins an amazing party game.
I'm a big fan of how things are aesthetically. I really like how this game looks. It just looks like the most easy to pick up and play fun look to it. This
yeah.
looks awesome.
Yeah, both of these, like... We should have done this episode a couple weeks ago, so I had time to get these and time to take them to
if I would have thought about it, I should have thought about it, because I could have just sent you guys, you know, or sent, you know, whoever's, you know, going to be up there. I could have just sent it up there. And if I am going to bring up there, if I'm going to be up there, I can bring these up there.
Oh, cool. You have them. Awesome.
Leave them. I don't have anything ever. I had it's funny because they sent me a little kind of starter pack because the game was being sold at Gen Con, so they sent a lot of reviewers these little starter packs. Mm-hmm. And I actually gave it to my daughter because it's a perfect icebreaker for college.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, that it is. Yeah. I love the subtitle, the party game you've been preparing for your whole life. That's great. That's great. I think that's great. I really.
Oh, that's everything ever.
Green everything ever. Yeah, sorry. Keep mixing
them up.
The
game of thinking like a winner is the tagline for that
so
one,
good.
Too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, all three of those games, and Medium is, you know, again, one of the greatest party games ever. And it's, and I've talked about that. I'll talk about that another day. But it's just, Nathan has done just such a great job at all these type of party games. And so check that out at Floodgate Games for sure.
Yeah.
Boys, I hope I didn't bring us down too heavy
No. I find that
fascinating stuff.
I agree. Yeah. I find that stuff super. I mean, it's partly because of my mind, because of the shows, but I'm. The whole 20-year saga of that weird opioid explosion is so weird to me and so interesting to me, and how it kind of came in under the radar in so many ways, and farm, you know, Purdue Farm is a mess now. They're not even a company. They're like a, all segmented out and had to settle for billions of dollars. And they're not even a, I think they're basically bankrupt and, you know, assets are being sold off or something weird. And to go from where they were to where they are and all being run by a single family, like, it is a fascinating story.
Crazy. I'll tell you this too. As I get out, I've been threatened. My life has legitimately been threatened that I can remember 4 times.
Whoa.
That I was actually scared 4 times. One of them was in Madison Square Garden because I was wearing an Islander jersey at a Ranger game. That's fine. I was scared there. The other three times were at a pharmacy because of an opioid prescription.
Wow. All opioid.
And we had to get. Yep.
Wow.
Jeez. Although I'm not surprised to hear one of these was a hockey altercation.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's really funny.
Scares me too. So if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, what you don't want is a hockey player on opioids. That's what you don't want.
Ooh, the worst. Geez,
no. Bad
oh,
geez.
Bad
conga.
Well, there's plenty of those, and that's for another day.
That's for a whole other day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Dan, have a fantastic time. Grats to your son once again, and also your daughter for her sophomore year. And may you enjoy laying around naked with your wife without anybody knowing it. For the next couple of years.
Love you guys. I'll see you soon.
Bye now.
See you, Dan.
All right. Nicely done.
Yeah, I wish we could have arranged for a dungeon murder deck to make it out to
Oh,
to
shit. Asheville. I keep forgetting. I wanted to send you. I still have time. Wait. When do you leave
you'd
tomorrow?
You'd have to send it. So I'm leaving tomorrow morning. But if you'd have to FedEx it to...
just forgot all about it. What I was going to do is send you my because I have a perfectly working beta deck.
Master. Yeah,
and that one has a couple of changes in the rules, but nothing major. It's basically functional in every other way. I just have been so busy, I forgot to do it. Forgot.
You know, it happens. Totally fine.
Don't worry, everybody. Those things are in printing right now. We should have some news as to when those are leaving the house or leaving the factory, whatever it is that's printing them. Anyway, yeah. We're getting close, but yeah, I should. I don't know what else. I may still try to do that.
I was gonna say I'll let you coordinate with September because she. I mean, either she or Amy and Chuck won't leave for Asheville until the day after tomorrow. So if you are able, I mean, you know, if it's cheap to FedEx, then that'd be great, and I can always bring it back with me and just UPS or you know USPS it back to you to save on money. But
sure. Yeah, we could totally. Yeah, the whole idea in the first place was I have other things I need to send you. I was just going to pack it all up, including that, send it to you.
Gotcha.
I just never got around to it. So yeah, I'll talk to September after this or Amy or whoever.
And you still can because I'm, as you know, I'm checking a bag. So I can, if you send all that stuff to September, then I can still take it back home with me.
All right, awesome. I think I'll do that.
Have to come here. Yeah.
Excellent. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for listening, watching. Partaking, consuming,
absorbing.
Yes. Yeah, very absorbent, these people.
like Chipotle napkins.
Yeah, or you know, who are the towels we were? Oh, Bounty. You're like a Bounty towel roll.
Exactly, the quicker picker upper.
Yeah,
this audience is
whatever it is. Cat vomit, soup.
Oh, geez.
Whatever.
Maybe we're going a little taking the metaphor too far.
We'll back that truck up some. We're done though. Thank you all for listening. Patreon.com/TMS is how the show is supported. So if you're sitting around going, man, I got this dollar in my pocket that I don't spend all month, I don't know where to put it. I have the perfect place for it. Patreon.com/TMS. Get in there now, read up about why, and you'll be surprised how cool it is to be a supporter of our show. Patreon.com/TMS. Everything else is at frogpants.com/TMS. Today at noon, I'll be co-streaming with John Jagger for Core. We'll be co-streaming the Gamescom presentation.
Oh, cool.
From Cologne, Germany.
I'm actually going to be watching some of that to get the free Marvel Snap drops.
Oh, like right.
Spider-Man card and Avatar and all that stuff. So, yeah.
I think they make you do that on, it's a Twitch drop, isn't it?
Yes, it's a Twitch drop.
So here's what you want to do. If you want to watch, if you want the drops.
I'll have to watch that one directly. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you also want to see my thing, what you do is you put mine up main, but you have another browser window open with the other thing. You get your drops. You just mute that window and you win either way.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm all over it.
That'll be fun. So, and if you can't catch it, we'll be putting it all up later on archive. So watch for that.
Cool.
That's it, I think. Should we do a song and get out?
We should do a song. Before we do that, I want to throw out a big thanks to Bobby Frankenberger. He's going to be covering for me tomorrow. Thank you, Bobby.
Oh yeah,
and have a good time. Enjoy your co-host duties tomorrow.
Should be a good time. We're going to bring in
seriously.
We're going to do recommendals. He'll bring a recommendation.
Yeah.
But I have it on good authority that Randy is bringing a very indie, small, never heard of thing that no one's ever seen good. Before.
Something that so totally under the radar.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's going to be great.
I know. You won't believe it. It'll be just like, whoa, I need to subscribe to the strangest service to even get this.
Oh, it's like another one of these under the, you know, like these services that we've never heard of. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Geez.
Yeah. You think that WoW Plus thing is weird. Wait till you hear about this.
Oh, great.
Anyway, that's tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. So come on back for that. No show Thursday. Just a reminder. Everybody's gone. Brian's gone. I have a doctor thing. Wendy's not here. There's just no show. So
yeah, it was the perfect storm to take a day off. Yep. Is what it was.
That's what that is. But we don't like leaving you guys empty handed. So play a song, Brian. What do you got?
I got a song. This one came from Barry, who I just had dinner with the night before last. He says, hello, good sirs. Ren is celebrating her golden birthday. That's their daughter. On the 23rd of August. That is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Let's party.
Tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Excellent. He says, we're in Fort Collins visiting her as she starts her journey into a master's degree of toxicology. Get her hooked up with Dan, too. Should I be worried she's learning about toxic substances and excellent infectious diseases her senior year? ? For sure. Thanks, as always. And can we hear the original, I don't like bees?
Oh, sure. Been a bit. So let's see if I can find it. Is this it? Nope. Hold on. I got it here. Bees. Oh, I wish this thing had a search. Hold on. You know what? Let's do it the old-fashioned way. For Barry, it's worth it. It's worth it for Barry.
Yes, absolutely. Maybe it's Barry. Maybe it's worth
bees.
It. No.
I don't
maybe she's
bees.
Born worth. What is it? Oh, she's worth it? She's Maybelline. Something
here
like
it
that.
Is. I found it. I don't like. Nope. That's the song version. Where's the one?
I like that.
That's not it either because it's slowed down. I got to find this. Here it is.
I don't like bees.
There you go.
Excellent. Yeah. Well done. All right. How about a cover of What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction? Great suggestion, Barry. And this is another thing. I like covers of One Direction more than One Direction. This is the band Victims of Circumstance. It is a, an edgier version of this song. Maybe a little ska for those of you who like ska, as I do. Came out on their 2012 album, Decades. Here are the Victims of Circumstance and What Makes You Beautiful.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
When you walk through the door, don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know. You don't know you're beautiful. If only you
Get more at frogpants.com.
What is your meaning?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.